Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
The Titans went to Jacksonville looking to right some wrongs from last Sunday's performance against Indianapolis, and instead, they left with their second loss in 5 days, now 0-2 in the division. Penalties, plenty. Mariota continues to miss more throws than he makes. The Titans' offensive line mauled. Mariota sacked 9 times, pressured 18 times. The Titans tried to make a game of it in the fourth quarter with a touchdown drive, but really, once Jacksonville jumped out to that 14-point lead in the first quarter, the Titans, they just weren't battling back. They mustered just 108 yards, 5 first downs at halftime. And he left Jacksonville asking even more questions than the ones they were asking when they arrived. 20-7 the final, and just a lot to react to in this first hour. 615-737-1045, our number. We are live, and we are ready to go from Greystone Golf Club, the FightDMD.com golf tournament, helping out the fight against Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Love being out here each and every year. Crew is all here. Laura Privett, our production assistant. Kirby Allen. Kirby making the show happen here. David Reed is the chairman of the board. Paul made it.
Marathon, not a sprint. Yada, yada, yada. All these new offensive weapons. A continuity coordinator so that they could kind of not have to start over. Well, it looks like they got a lot of starting over to do to me because that offense is nothing. And, look, you could say that Mariota and the offense got going in the second half yesterday. Whoa, what a big difference in the second half. 7 whole points.
Yeah.
I mean, so they had some stats in the second half. Well, the stats came at the cost of 8 of the 9 sacks came in the second half. And 7 whole points. That offense is a catastrophe. And, again, I came in after the Indy game on Monday and said all those offseason predictions that we heard nationally that pissed everybody off, well, that's what they thought was possible. Well, here again, this is what they thought was possible, but this time they went and did it on national TV, the one time they're on national TV. And I saw some pretty prominent, maybe not, you know, like super national writers, but guys with national reputations and big following saying, this has to be the worst offense in the league. And last night, you couldn't push back against that. They looked like they just got thrown together. They looked like they had no idea what they were doing. They looked like there was no plan. They looked like they'd never executed the plan before. They looked like they'd not run the plays. Derrick Henry should really regret bragging about that great catch he made.
I wanted to get to that.
Because he's
people said
the ball
I couldn't catch
in 2 games.
You
I
can't.
Wonder why they said you couldn't catch. Mariota, like you said, missing more throws than he's making. He was in all kinds of trouble back there. The holding the ball issues were more on the offensive line. I mean, they can't even hold a guy for a second for him to make a screen pass over Calais Campbell. I mean, what a jumble. And the defense again. I mean, the 14 points quick was terrible. It reset the whole thing. But again, they held the team to 20 5 days after they held the team to 19. At least last week they were in it. This week at 14, it was game over.
Well, they made Calais Campbell look like a combo of Deacon Jones, Warren Sapp, Aaron Donald.
Yeah, he's awfully good.
Name the great defensive lineman.
But he's the guy who should have been licking his chops going into that game, and he was.
No player should be that good, especially at this stage in his career. And the Titans' offensive line was terrible. Roger Saffold has been an enormous disappointment. He looks like Andy Levitre 2.0. That is a huge stain on John Robinson.
He has not been good.
And he said
that
after
is
the
a
game,
huge
you know,
stain on John
he
Robinson.
He said after the game, and some of it was
well,
up, but there were some coverage
give me
sacks
a break. I'm sorry.
Held it
am sick and tired of talk. I've talked about this with Tennessee football. I'm sick and tired of talk. I'm sick and tired with this Titans team talking also. I am sick and tired of the disrespect card. Get used to that disrespect card because guess what?
You're
legitimately
earning.
No one respects you anymore.
And you're
because you've
it.
Gone out there and earned zero respect.
That line was pushed around.
They love playing that card. They're going to have an opportunity to play that card the rest of the year because no one nationally is going to be talking about this team, and rightfully so. And for Roger Saffold, I don't care if that's the case. You sit up there and you own it. You are paid top dollar to be the best offensive guard in football. The best. And you suck. So I don't want to hear about, well, there are times where, you know, he didn't read it right or he's sitting in the pocket. Give me a break. I don't want to hear about those
Block
times.
The man it's in not, front of you.
It's not your job to tell anyone that. Stop deflecting blame. That is a problem with this team. And I think you're starting to see the cracks of that with the defense, who I can understand being pissed off after that game and frustrated and not wanting to take all the blame. I get it on the defensive side. You don't need an offensive lineman that's paid the way Roger Saffold was to come in here and be a fix for this offensive line to talk like that after helping allow 9 sacks in a game.
Buckle up, because this is going to be a bumpy ride with this offensive line. There is no quick fix, and this is not just a Taylor Lewan is missing problem. The offensive guards on this line are atrocious. Jamil Douglas benched in the fourth quarter, should have been benched well before that. The problem is they have Aaron Stinney backing him up.
They need both of them on the field at the same time. Then maybe they'd have a chance.
We knew Jamil Douglas was not good after the second game of the preseason, and he's their starting right guard right now. That's problem number one. And then the guy that they should be able to count on is the guy that they can't count on right now, and that's Roger Saffold. He hasn't been good. The interior of that offensive line is terrible.
Ripe for abuse.
Terrible. And Jack Conklin's getting abused by the rookie Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is damn good.
Five and a half sacks between him and Calais Campbell last night.
And I watched that Josh Allen-Conklin matchup, Hutton, and I can't help but think, you know, there are times where there will be a flare gun going off in my head thinking about what Greg Cosell says about someone. And it's in moments like that where I just think, man, that's just an athletic mismatch. And I understand that offensive linemen versus elite pass rushers typically going to be an athletic mismatch. Those pass rushers are much more athletic. But I watch that and think, they're not even playing the same sport when I look at those two guys. I mean, Jack Conklin, not a great athlete, and that's something Greg Cosell has said a lot. Now, could he be, as Greg Cosell said, a really good guard or a functional right tackle? Yeah, and he's been that for the Titans. But when you see him matched up with a guy like Josh Allen, boy, that is a mismatch. And the entire interior offensive line was a complete mismatch all night.
Yeah,
everything that the Jags were throwing at
him. We're going to see Nate Davis start in Atlanta, and that's going to happen.
I don't know how he wasn't already starting, honestly.
Well, they say he wasn't ready.
And the short week.
They couldn't get him ready.
Physically ready. The short week, they couldn't
Jamil Douglas wasn't ready either.
It's got to be better than a Pro Football Focus grade of 12.8.
Yeah.
Which Jamil Douglas had last night.
He was.
I'm not exaggerating. How many people could you put out there that have never played an NFL snap that played college offensive line
that
could have better than a 12.8 grade?
Last night's performance reminded me of Wills V-Tech against J.J. Watt.
Yep.
It was
an all-timer.
Super mismatch.
He's a punchline now.
And listen, though, the pressure in the first half, I mean, it was pressure, but there was one sack in the first half. They cranked it up in the second half. And in the first half, Marcus Mariota, 6 for 16, 62 yards. Derrick Henry, 10 carries, 31 yards. What the hell is that? What is that? That production level is minor league. We have the continuity coordinator. We got all the new weapons.
Well, here's what it is, Paul. You bring it up. Adoree had the fumble. We'll get to that coming up.
Atrocious.
We'll get to that coming up. That's one issue, and that's a big issue from last night, honestly. First possession, a holding call led to a 3rd and 16. Second possession, A.J. Brown offensive pass interference. Third possession, Jonnu Smith with a hold. Henry dropped that. Henry was dropped for a loss of 5, and then Mariota was sacked. They could have had the ball at the Jacksonville 18 prior to all of this crap that's gone on with these offensive possessions. And instead, they're backed up where it's like it's 3rd down in the river.
This was a good penalty team last year, the best or the second best in the league. Where the hell's that gone?
The
the official station of Titans football.
Touchdown, Titans!
104.5, The Zone.
In trouble, Mariota has to step up, fires deep downfield into double coverage, incomplete. Intended for Humphreys, quick screen. Mariota misses Humphreys on the left side, incomplete. Mariota with a play fake. Looking, firing, too high for Smith in the left flat and incomplete. Bunch set of three receivers to the left. Mariota to throw it on second and six. He steps up. He throws late. He throws it behind Walker and incomplete. Mariota had done a great job stepping up and at the last minute choosing to throw it. The man is wide open. The ball just behind Walker. It's third down and six at the 11.
Delaney wide open in the end zone by himself.
Ooh. Mariota in the shotgun, takes the snap, pressure coming, Mariota throws for Walker and the pass is nearly intercepted, incomplete. Harrison got a hand on it, couldn't bring it into his body. Walker had beaten him, but the throw was short.
They pulled the string on that one a little bit.
Fourth down and six, the Titans gonna go. Titans on the year, 0-1 on fourth downs. Three receivers to the left, Walker to the right.
Four-man rush. They're playing coverage.
Mariota takes a sack.
Every move I make, every single day, every time I pray, I'll be missing you.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, home of the $5 biggie bag.
When does this come to you, Reed? At what point, as you're listening
terrific.
To that game in the studio, do you say, I've got the song to put together this highlight?
Unfortunately, the Titans' first drive.
Yeah, it was that the music with that is beautiful. But I'm sure that you edited and condensed that down. But that last highlight or low light, where Coach Mack is giving his analysis and then immediately goes to Mikey a split second later, and he takes a sack.
Four-man
rush. They're playing coverage. It's a sack.
And he's going to take a sack.
Edited at all.
Wow. Split second. The ball was snapped and he was sacked. And he's going to take a sack.
That sequence down where they didn't kick the field goal, went for it on fourth and six.
It sounded like whoever sacked him was in the backfield next to him.
Yeah.
It's like Derrick Henry sacked him. That's how quick it happened. So, it's like ball snapped and the guy next to him tackled.
It was just such a bad sequence. The whole thing.
You know what? Here's what's disappointing. You know, they're 1-2, and while you look ahead and you say, okay, there's plenty of games left on this schedule to right the ship and get things together, and, you know, maybe they'll string together some things. Here's the problem with all that. They are exactly who they were last year. It's just kind of jumbled up with results. They're very inconsistent. You don't know what you're getting offensively. And the offensive line on the interior is a sieve, despite what changes they've made. I mean, Quentin Spain is a better option right now than what we've seen at guard. That's how bad it's been. And while they're dropping games to Jacksonville, to a sixth-round rookie quarterback
who
outplayed your fifth-year veteran.
Made some plays. Escaped the pocket. Stepped up.
Delivered the ball perfectly.
Andrew
times.
Luck retires. Jacoby Brissett named the starter in week three of the preseason, and he comes in and has more poise is able to get away from pressure.
You just lost to back-to-back backups.
Yes. You're 1-2, 0-2 in the division, and now you're just clawing your way to stay in it. I mean, you are Jacksonville last night is who you are now. Instead of controlling this division by winning games that you should win, based on who you say you think you are. Instead, you're battling and you're at the bottom of the hill clawing to keep from falling off the cliff. That is the disappointing aspect of where this team is. Are they done? No, they're not done at 1-2 on the season. But we know exactly who this team is right now. They're going to be very up and down, and they're going to be 8-8 or 9-7.
And
because that's their defense.
Or 7-9.
Their defense is going to give up about 21 points a game. And their offense is going to be very up and down and rocky. And that's going to keep them in games. to where they're going to flash something at the beginning of a fourth quarter and be in it, and they're going to lose about half of them. It's exactly what the national media thinks the Tennessee Titans are. They've pegged it, and that's the problem.
And their defense needs to score right now. Needs to hold the opponent to 17, well, 20,
honestly,
21,
they held Jacksonville to 13 points last night.
Yeah.
They were given because the ball on the 8-yard line.
The seven. Let's talk about that. We have said time and time again they need to be done with Adoree. Week two, they went with Humphreys. I asked him last week, and he said, going to be a game-to-game thing. Put Adoree back there at the beginning of this thing. Completely muffs it.
Hang on. Week two. No, week one they went with Humphreys. And week two they went with Adoree.
Completely muffs it. Then, as if to prove a point, they go back to him. Two more times, right?
Yeah, I know.
This is Pac-Man level coddling, I think. Never mind the criminal element. I'm not saying that. But this thing where you have to baby him in some way. Show me the consequence. Not me so much, but the team. What are you saying to the team? Look, I know they all like each other and the DBs are on his side and all of that. But at some point, Jameel Douglas suffered a consequence. Now, he was in there too long as well. It's not as much about the consequence. It's about the production.
Well,
if
unlike
you don't
Jameel
produce,
Douglas,
and there's a legitimate alternative, which is where you were going.
Right.
Aaron Stinney's not a legitimate alternative. He's the same thing.
Right.
Maybe worse. Humphreys can catch a punt. So why do you go back? He says, I wanted to give him a chance to get his confidence back. It's not the time to give him a chance to get his confidence back. The time to get his confidence back is at practice. Go stick him back there and let him catch 50 punts at practice and get his confidence back. It's almost like you don't want to admit that you made the mistake. And that's as bad on you, Mike Vrabel, as it is on Adoree Jackson for making the mistake in the first place. And then what was he back? Two? He caught one, or fair caught one, or returned one, and then another one he let bounce again.
And then the one that Humphreys returned a decent amount, 15 yards, it was called back for a hold. Or no,
well, there's re-kick.
It was the yeah, it was a re-kick,
which turned out very favorably. An invisible yardage gain. Listen,
you can be too much of a player's coach.
At some point, have to say we can no longer put this guy back there. He hurts us too often. It's not more often than not, but he hurts us too often for us to continue to roll him out back there. Why are you not at that point? I wish I was at the press conference today. I'm sure somebody will ask it. I would ask it that way. At what point is he hurting you too much for you to continue to put him back there? Because it seems clear to everyone but you that you're at that point, that you're past that point. Please help us understand.
Deep is Adoree Jackson. Snap is good. Punt poor. Going to hit it to 35. Penalty marker down. Jackson will try to field the wet football inside the 20. Still rolling free. There's a fight for it inside the 10. And it's been recovered by the Jaguars.
That started it all right there. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Home of the $5 biggie bag. Jacksonville goes up 7-0, and that's really all they needed. Gardner Minshew then gets the ball back. They go down and score, and it was 14-0 quickly.
There's just something about losing to that guy, too.
Yeah.
That makes it that much more embarrassing. He may turn out to be a really good NFL quarterback. There's just something about him, just the whole thing.
I love him.
Pictures floating around now of him in the jockstrap in Washington State's locker room. He's very interesting. Like, if you're covering a team, you would love to have that guy in the locker room, right?
He's an immediate fan favorite. There were, I don't know how many fans, but there were a number of different fans on the big screens last night at the stadium dressed like it was Halloween, like it was Gardner Minshew night at the stadium.
Mustaches.
Yep. Let's go to the phones. Reed in Dallas will lead us off today. What's up, Reed? Reed dropped
Reed,
off.
Are you there?
I could tell. I don't know what he's going
to
say.
Reed, call back in. Let's go to Zach.
David,
next
David
up.
Reed, give us
Hey, Zach.
Hey, just wanted to go over the same old story that we always see with the Titans. It's funny because 4 years ago on my Facebook memory, I had a post that talked about Tutasi not being able to block, Marcus not having any time, and that's what he needs to perform. We all know that. We've seen it. When he has time, he feels comfortable, he can perform. But like last night, even though we had turnovers and all that mess, it still doesn't make any difference. You have to score points. So that's what I got.
Well, even when he had time last night, he was missing throws. Now, he had some moments. You know, the throw for the 47-yard pass to Tajae Sharp matched up on Jalen Ramsey. That was a great pass and catch. He missed Tajae.
He's up the right side.
Missed Tajae. Yeah. Missed a wide-open Delanie Walker in the end zone.
Twice.
Miscommunication with him and Corey Davis, which should be routine at this point.
Where's the chemistry
there are no excuses for a lack of chemistry between those
Where's
two.
Where's the chemistry between the two of them? Two first-round picks.
Two guys
if it's not one thing, it's another with the offense.
Two guys, personality-wise, who don't exactly command a room also. Who's demanding that chemistry between those two?
Yeah, neither of them is going to
the
other.
I hate to poke holes in someone's personality, but I don't know if you could think of a worse fit for two top five picks, quarterback-receiver combo from a personality standpoint, where someone that just doesn't grab the other one by the face mask and say, get here early and let's figure this bleep out at some point. Because there's zero chemistry between those two guys.
Yeah, and they may
and
be
it's,
there
it's
early,
unexplainable.
But for whatever reason, it's just not there. Well, and they
I'm not saying that's the fix on it, but there has to be some explanation for this lack of chemistry.
How many times did he pass last night? Let me look at these stats. He completed 23 of 40 for 304 yards. And Corey Davis was targeted four times.
Yeah, nine each for Humphreys and Walker.
Here's another big question.
Nine each for to his two top guys.
Just roster decisions. It's one thing to ask, why did they sign, you know, Saffold to perform like this? Or why are they starting Jamil Douglas? Why draft a receiver number five overall and treat him like you drafted him in the fifth round? They're giving him the same amount of targets as a Tajae Sharp. Just looking through, they want to spread the ball around, and that's fine. But why draft a receiver fifth overall if you simply want your receivers to be pieces instead of a go-to player?
I don't disagree, Hutt, but in this situation, because they're so far off track last week, you look at the two top targets, and it's Humphreys and Walker, 9 and 9. And in terms of getting him going, Mariota, and the underneath easier stuff, if you told me coming out of the game without the result, hey, they targeted Walker 9 times and they targeted Humphrey 9 times, I'd say, all right, well, that's a good way to kind of start to try to get things going.
Look, and some of it is on Davis. Maybe he's not getting separation. It's on the offensive line because Mario's on some plays not having time to set his feet and throw the football before he's having to run for his life or just take a sack. But the combination of last week where he had some time and we were saying he's hanging on to the football too long, let it rip. Sometimes you just have to let it rip to your number five overall pick.
Oh, I agree.
There are so many just dumbfounding questions with this offense right now.
I just don't buy this lack of separation argument because...
Well, last night I thought Boye and Ramsey put them down on lock. They were on lockdown last
night. But, I mean, did he have a ton of separation when he made that great one-handed catch?
No.
You throw it up to your star receiver.
That is the NFL.
You got to give them a chance to go make a 50-50 ball.
He sees the negative side of the 50-50. I think it's in his DNA or it's been beaten into him.
Well,
almost like McNair. McNair in the early stages, the number one thing for McNair was don't throw picks. And I don't know if it's Marcus, what's been preached to Marcus, or that Marcus has decided, listen, I may not throw a lot of touchdowns and stuff, but I'm not going to get this team beat by throwing picks. And he's decided, if I'm throwing a 50-50 ball to Corey Davis, well, half of what could happen is bad, and I can't afford that bad thing.
Let's go to Frank next up. Frank, welcome in. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, I got a question for you, Paul. With leaving Adorian and some of these problems they're having on the offensive line, do you believe they're being outcoached? Because I do the last two games by some of these, mistakes they're doing. Mike Vrabel in particular. What's your thoughts on that, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't had a good five. Those weren't a good 5 days for him. I don't think Doug Marrone. I mean, Doug Marrone made a boneheaded move going for a touchdown at the end of that game, where a field goal would have put him up, what, 16? Did you think the Titans were going to go score two touchdowns and convert two extra points? I thought that was a foolish scoreboard decision by Marrone, who I don't think is a particularly good coach. But I thought, and I was talking about this with Buck Rising in the booth last night, I felt like the fourth and six going for it, it was an emotional decision. Not a methodical decision. It was only 14-0.
It was desperation.
You get a three at that point.
It's only 14-0, but Vrabel is telling you he doesn't think that they're going to get back down there and score
again. Yeah,
and
that's what he said. It's the furthest we got down there. And, yeah. So, I mean, maybe it's in hindsight, it's a more a coach being honest about his team. But it seemed like, boy, getting points on the board would have been a hell of a breakthrough.
Well, we keep saying you need to see Mariota let it rip. I know Hutton has said that a bunch. Let it rip. Let's see what he's got. Let's let him go out there and throw it. To me, that's the opposite signal when you're in desperation mode because, oh, we're inside the 20. We may not be here again. We may need the defense to score a touchdown to tie it, so we better go for it on fourth and six. That's some will say that, boy, that's a ballsy move by a coach and shows a lot of confidence in their team. I kind of see it the other way as that's a coach early in the game saying, we can't afford just to kick a field goal here because we may not be back there again and not thinking the offense is going to get it going and they'll score another touchdown.
Davey's next up.
He's not coached well the last 2 weeks.
What's up, Davey?
Hey, guys. Listen, I called in, I think it was near the end of last year, and I asked is the jury still out on John Robinson? And your guys' answer was, well, it didn't really matter because the only person who's in the jury is Amy Adams. So, no, it's not still out. But, 6 months, 8 months later from that call, we've got another free agent he's paid who is not living up to the expectations that were set up to signing. We've gone through another draft where we've got players who are taken in high draft picks aren't contributing. Like, can the ship be righted with that dude steering the ship is, like, my greater question. I mean, whether it's Butler, Lewis, Saffold, Corey Davis, pick the Dodds, but, like, we're wasting money and draft capital all over the place. Is he the guy to fix it?
Harder and harder to say yes. It's 3 games. You know, Saffold could right the ship with Luan back next to him and turn out to be good. And we say, hey, remember the lousy first month he had? Humphreys could turn into a first down machine still. A.J. Brown, I think, has been pretty impressive, actually. He's getting lost kind of in everything. But I'd say if you gave me these first 3 games out of a rookie wide receiver, considering what this team does, I'd take that.
It's the O-line decisions.
We haven't seen Simmons, and that could turn out to be a big one still. O-line, you got to have better depth.
Roger Saffold, disaster.
No, better starters.
Yeah, Roger Saffold looks like a disastrous signing.
If Nate
signed Roger Saffold, it doesn't matter if Taylor Lewan is playing next to him or not. Roger Saffold needs to be rock on the offensive line.
From day one.
Yes.
Bringing in Saffold for that money and letting Quentin Spain leave looks like a disastrous move through 3 games. I don't think there's any other way you can
do that. And that's saying something, because letting Quentin Spain go was really no loss.
Deal. Yeah. They didn't think twice about it either, I think. I think they were probably done with Quentin Spain halfway through last year.
Look, if we're already saying the people who were the most negative and down on the Titans in the preseason, they're on to something here with this team when they were making those predictions. And everything that the team says, the players say, the good to great mantra that they want to live by, the organization, everything they're doing, if they're wrong and everyone else is right, you can't just have your quarterback looking in the mirror on this. It has to be the entire organization, and a big part of that is John Robinson. And you can go down the list. There are a number of questionable to bad moves. Right now, quite frankly, Adoree Jackson looks like
that's
a reach in the first round. And people were surprised when he went at that pick. And what were we sold with that pick? Well, he's not just a corner. He is a weapon on special teams. Oh, he's a weapon, all right. He's a bomb that blows up in your face on special teams so far in the NFL.
Davis and Adoree Jackson, two first-round picks. You should have two studs. You have no studs.
And that's this 2017 draft.
And their draft this year on the sideline.
A.J. Brown's the only guy contributing.
Nate Davis inactive, healthy, inactive. And Jeffrey Hooker. Simmons is in the training
Hooker,
room.
Hooker, a role player. You know, but, yeah, they're not getting a lot.
Minshew in the gun, fires deep left side, going for Chark in the end zone. I think Chark caught it. Let's wait. He did. Touchdown, Jacksonville. DJ Chark.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, over the $5 biggie bag. Paul, you spoke with Delanie Walker last night in the locker room.
Baby Chark. Da, 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 da.
I was playing in my house this morning, actually.
It's a very, very catchy tune. Delanie Walker, I got him walking out because I don't think I missed a couple things as I was milling locker room down there. It's just hellish crowded. You remember?
Yes.
And so he was on the phone, and I kind of walked out with him, walked beside him while he was finishing up a phone call, and then got a minute with him as he was walking out. And he said, to put it mildly, honestly, they just kicked our ass. We've really got to check ourselves and really see who we say we are and who we say we want to be. Got to check on that. I think we're all thinking that.
Yes.
So
it's hard to believe we're saying that three games into the season.
This was not a team that the narrative was not like, well, it's going to take them some time to kind of figure out who they are and what they are. And I think one of the big things here that's come to be countered, so to speak, is the Arthur Smith continuity narrative. Well, Arthur is not really a new, you know, yeah, he's a new offensive coordinator, but he speaks the same language. He's been here through all this stuff. He and Marcus are on the same page. He's going to come in, and it's not going to really be new. It's going to pick up where they left off, build off what they were doing. Not that what they were doing last year was great, but it's not going to be some big setback where they have to restart. Well, you're right. It's not some big setback where they have to restart. It's a huge setback where they've gone back to, like, absolute zero. Last night was absolute zero offensively, was it not? Did they look like they had any offensive identity?
No cohesion, rhythm, cohesion? No identity, no
chemistry,
no confidence.
And nothing was good. You know, the one thing that was really dialed up well was the screen pass to Henry, where if he catches it, it may be a touchdown. I mean, there was one guy out there to tackle him and three blockers in front of him if he doesn't drop that pass. But that's the one time I'm watching the game and thinking, well, that was a well-designed play in the right moment where that was just an execution issue of dropping the pass where it could have been a touchdown.
There's another play.
But nothing was blocked well. Even when Mariota had time, he looked bad. On other plays, the footwork issue. I mean, how many times?
He's just lost right now.
How many times is he throwing the ball not only flat-footed, but like his left foot is in front of his right? He's kind of sideways. He's jumping. I mean, it's just very odd to watch him play.
First play of the second half, play action, sack. Henry screen on 2nd and 11, wide open and dropped it. Sharp then beat Ramsey for 47 yards. And then he had a 2nd and 6. Delanie was wide open. They missed him, incomplete. 3rd and 6, Mariota, short pass to Delanie.
One of those was tipped.
Blown up. And 4th and 6. This is the real deflating moment. Mariota sacked on 4th and 6.
Very quickly.
Quickly.
And had no chance.
The other one, the very, very quick sack of Mariota, was a screen pass where the offensive lineman had to, like, delay their guy for a second and then get out. Douglas, like, patty-caked Campbell. Like, touched him. And then went to get out. It was like maybe the fastest sack I've seen of a Titans quarterback. That's saying something because we've seen some bad offensive line play here.
And we heard one in Reed's clip also. The analysis from Coach Mack, and he's going to take a sack.
Yeah. That wasn't even the one I'm talking about.
Lebowski is next. Welcome, Lebowski.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. That game last night, this offense looks like someone teaching a 10-year-old to drive stick shift in a brand-new Ferrari. It's like you just got this very expensive talented, high-profile vehicle, and someone is just not getting it right. He's ripping this transmission to pieces. I need a minute to get some things off my chest because I'm very irritated after watching this game.
Great.
Starting with, for the next decade at a minimum, I don't want to hear a single Titans fan utter the words no respect for the national media, because that last night is exactly why the NFL world as a whole ignores us. It's what an embarrassment. The coaching was abysmal on 4 first and 10 situations. 4, the Titans ran the ball for 0 yards, 1 yard, 2 yards, and -1 yards, down 3 scores late in the game. And this coaching staff kept in Dory for punt returns after that dagger of a muff punt, and they only pulled him and put in Humphrey after a Dory just mystifyingly walked away from a fair catch situation. But look, I don't want to spare the O-line here, because I've got plenty for you, too. 17 sacks through 3 games, which is the most for a single QB since 2002. But I really can't put this all on LaJuan, because, I mean, he tried his best out there last night. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. He was live-tweeting the game, sitting at home on his couch, serving his PED suspension. But we got that real cute Bustin' with the Boys video yesterday of him thanking Will Compton for his birthday. LOL. Meanwhile, your juggled O-line buddies are out there, and they look like someone trying to serve soup to a strainer. And Marcus, this one pains me because I'm a Marcus believer, a believer that he'll suddenly find his 2016 groove again. Well, Stella found it, but Marcus keeps panicking in the pocket and dumping it to Henry, while Humphreys and Davis are in wide open field with enough time to set up a little table with a candle on it and have a meal while the offense burns around them and Marcus drops his eyes, never discovering that they exist. The Titans just dropped their 2nd game in a row to a backup QB. All hail Lord Commander Minshew the 18th, who looks like a walking Doobie Brothers reunion. You just hear a hot tub full of perm groupies giggling in the background to the crooning of Michael McDonald while this mustachio jerk drops back to pass. The sick part about it to me, though, is that this team is wasting the careers of Kern and Delaney. Walker, especially, that really pains me, because I he should be on the team that can get him a ring, and this team looks like they're barely going to get to 8-8. If Titans fandom was a relationship, the marriage counselor would stop the session and just call the police for the amount of abuse we take. 3 games in, this team looks like one of the worst offenses I've ever seen in the Titans field. And, I mean, that's saying something. Chad, you nailed it last night with your tweet, and you said, good is great. It's starting to sound a lot like brick by brick, because I'm really tired of hearing it. This isn't good or great. This is one of the worst offenses in the league. And I don't care if people think I'm overreacting 3 games in, because this is an overreaction. That team is so off kilter, I'm having a hard time watching it.
Lebowski, thank you.
Epic. Wasting the career of Kern. I like
starting
that
with Kern too.
Yeah.
The Taylor Lewan tweeting last night too.
I'm telling you, he's not helping himself.
The GIF with, wow, who would have thought that the refs would mess up so many calls?
Yeah, Tom Brady took care of the referee tweet.
Yeah.
Paul, you say he's not helping himself. He's going to be welcome back with open arms. They'll roll out a red carpet for him after
the
Falcons game.
Here's how he's not helping himself. Say he gives up 2 sacks in the Falcons game.
Yeah, so status quo for the offensive line.
Yeah. But he's supposed to come back and be the savior. If he comes back and he's not the savior,
he's not going to be.
Well, then
he played last year and this offensive line was terrible. In the interior.
He's not helping himself with the fans.
LaJuan is not the issue.
It doesn't matter with the organization.
Have we mentioned Dennis Kelly at all today?
No. But he was part of the problem. Nobody.
Dennis Kelly was pretty good.
We haven't mentioned Ben Jones either. And Ben Jones is certainly, I'm sure, in position to help Jameel Douglas on some of the issues.
All I'm saying is, if you're a starter in the National Football League, at some point, step up and block the man in front of you. Stop looking to the guy beside you for help and do your job. Do your job. We're not giving Mariota any excuses.
Well, look, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying anything counter to what you're saying, but Jameel Douglas can't do that job. Douglas can't block Calais Campbell.
They kept him on the roster.
I understand.
Then whose fault is that?
But do you think that he can block Calais Campbell?
Well, then, again, we can't put everything on Mariota. Whose fault is that?
Robinson.
That's a John Robinson problem.
He can't block Calais Campbell, which means it's not a Taylor Lewan issue.
And give me a break, on this.
I agree.
Give me a break, and you got to get Nate Davis ready. You're telling me 10 days from now he's magically going to be ready to play an NFL game? last night he would have been, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there, three times as good as Jamil Douglas. And, I mean, does he have a pulse? I'm hearing this, you know, well, he was out there, we're trying to get him ready. Does the guy breathe, and is he a big body? Because that would have been better than what the Titans had last night on the offensive line. Play the guy. And I stand by my tweet. Good to great is becoming a punchline now. That's unfortunate for the Titans.
They're not saying it. It's people like me boomeranging.
They were outplayed.
Them. Well, they're saying it.
They were outplayed by a Jags offense who has a quarterback that if you just showed me a picture of him, I would think he's on bath salts. That's how inept he looks in a photo.
Yeah.
And he went around and ran around and had more poise and composure than half of the Titans team last night.
And fun.
There is something to be said about the it factor for quarterbacks. That is the one position where you can really circle it and say there is something to be said for that. And Gardner Minshew is physically limited, but he's got that certain it at the position where he is poised and he's confident. And it showed last, and he didn't have great stats, but it showed last night.
The way they have set up this year in this roster, it should be the opposite. This is the roster for the Titans that should be poised and confident and just go take care of business in Jacksonville on a Thursday night on a short week and right the ship instead of leaving with more questions than you have answers right now, especially on offense.